The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus began to say to all in the synagogue in Nazareth, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow of Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At my college graduation, the speaker was the late actor Ron Silver, and I remember him concluding his speech with the words, "If you aim low, you'll never miss." And I remember a woman sitting in front of me on a warm, sunny day on the Great Lawn for this ceremony and saying with an attitude, remember, I was in New York, "Thanks, Ron. Right? If you aim low, you never miss." I believe Ron's silver sentiment was that we need to take the risk to aim high. But I'm sure there are cynics in the crowd that day that probably felt that if you expect too much and receive nothing, life's just going to be one big disappointment. Perhaps one should just aim low. If you just aim low in life, you can minimize the disappointment. You can manage expectations. Now, our gospel lesson is a continuation from what we heard last week. In fact, it's kind of odd that the lectionary breaks up this one story as awkwardly as it does. But you may recall Jesus is preaching in the synagogues, and in this instance, he's reading from Isaiah. And what we hear today, we can conclude last week, where he says, "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And then what we just heard, things start taking a turn. This is when we could say being filled with the power of the Spirit and quoting Isaiah in stating that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, that the workings of the Spirit are not as gentle as we think sometimes, not as gentle as even we might prefer. And Jesus is pushing some buttons in what he has to say. He refers to two prophets. He refers to two stories that they know of Elijah and Elisha. A theme from Elijah and the widow of Zarephath is that this widow is a foreigner. And this story found in 2 Kings is that this foreigner and widow might challenge us to look differently at those people in our midst that we pay little attention to. Who are the people, the groups of people that we are quick to ignore? Because in this story, we're reminded that it was not only Elijah that blessed this foreigner, but that this foreigner was a blessing to Elijah. And so how can those who are different from us, how can not just we be a blessing to them, but they also be a blessing to us? And then Elisha has a healing story, the healing of Naaman, and also in 2 Kings, and we see faith acted out on foreign soil. So again, the boundaries that we think we've drawn up are not there. What Jesus is getting across here is that God is for everyone and not just a select few, but for all people. Now, abstractly, that might sound nice enough. It did to those in the synagogue that day. They were fine with it until he got specific. What could be wrong with saying this that would fill people to such rage? We can say that all people matter in our society today until we get specific. Let's recall those words that Jesus is reading from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What sets people off to the point that they want to throw Jesus off the cliff? He's reminding them of stories, their stories. He reminds them of prophets, their prophets. But he reminds them that Gentiles were included in God's blessing, and that they can be a blessing to us as well. The fact that we're all gathered here today is evidence of God's expansion love to include all people. But we can say that God loves all people. We can say that every life matters. But when we get specific, people might get enraged. And we've seen this. If it's an immigrant, if it's someone of a different race, if it's someone of a different political ideology from you, someone of a different gender, someone of a different sexual orientation, the second we say that the good news is also for them, we have seen how people can be infuriated with such a declaration in the church. Now, last week I quoted various statements from Martin Luther King Jr. and his call for inclusion. And we know, sadly, that his biblical argument for civil rights was met with anger and violence that led to his own death. And some might argue, if maybe he just continued on with the status quo, just going on with our lives, it wouldn't have come to that. Maybe. Should be noted that there are many other people that were killed during that era that we do not know of, that weren't as loud and prominent as Dr. King. And even if that were the case, there would still be injustice inflicted on our neighbor. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "If I experience freedom from oppression, but my brothers and sisters in Christ or my neighbors do not, my freedom is but a mirage." Aiming low to avoid the consequences of the gospel is not a luxury for us as Christians. The anger that we see in our gospel lesson and some of the anger that we see in our society today comes from, I believe, a deep sense of entitlement and exceptionalism. If the gift is no longer exclusive, if the good news is more inclusive and expansive, then it's just going to make some folks angry. We can probably name examples where anger has led to threats of violence, attempts of violence, and then acts of violence. But God does not respond to our entitlement. One of the biggest heresies of the church in our context, in our lifetime, has been the prosperity gospel, which invokes a mindset of being blessed by God if you do X, Y, and Z. This heresy is a problem on so many levels. For one, it creates a sense of works righteousness, which we as Lutheran Christians should be, no. We do not believe that whatsoever. The blessing and prosperity is now dependent upon your work. It also creates abuse and trauma, spiritual abuse and trauma on people. Because if God's blessing and prosperity is dependent on you and it doesn't happen, then whose fault is it? What do those spiritual leaders or quote-unquote spiritual leaders say? It's your fault. You didn't have enough faith. And if they do not excel, it's not only if they don't excel economically. If people, them or their loved ones, succumb to an illness, they're told it's because of their lack of faith. That's the culprit. But it is also in this idea of the prosperity gospel and our consumer-driven world that creates a sense of entitlement, even with our relationship with God. We reduce God to some kind of cosmic manager. You know, because when we go out to an establishment and our order is wrong at a restaurant, we expect it to be fixed. And if the problem is serious, we ask for a manager. So then you have in the background of our society this sense of prosperity gospel, this sense of entitlement, and then we expect special treatment with God. We like the idea of being part of an exclusive club. Even though it's a loyalty program, we rack up the points that we use to our benefit. Now, if an establishment wanted to give those rewards to everyone, regardless of they belong to the program, regardless of whether or not they've done anything to earn any of the rewards, that would infuriate us on some level, wouldn't it? If I've been going to Panera and Starbucks and earning my rewards, and all of a sudden somebody off the street comes in, it's like, no, I've never signed up. Oh, no, you can get the same discount and rewards as him. I'd be a little ticked off. Now, I understand a lot of these programs are free to sign up for, but I'm talking about giving away to everybody what you think you've rightfully earned. And some people might just walk away from the faith because of that. They've expected more. They felt entitled to more. And there are some that have told me over the years that they don't see the point. They don't see the point of Christianity if all people are included. They want people to be out. That's what they've said. And if that's not the case, they see faith as pointless. They envision a world and a God in which some people need to be cut off from God in the end. That's not the mission of the church. That's not the good news of Jesus Christ. That doesn't embody what we heard Cindy read in the second lesson. If you have all these things but not love, you've gained nothing. It's not biblical. So I wonder what Jesus knew, if he knew what he was getting into when they want to throw him off the cliff for proposing and proclaiming a message of inclusivity. I sense he knew exactly what he was getting into. I'm not sure if maybe those words from Ron Silver might be inspiring to you and me today, but in the context of Jesus Christ and what he does and accomplishes, I think it does. Because in Jesus, God did aim low. In Jesus, God did aim low, but did not miss. Jesus aimed low. He took on our humanity. Jesus aimed low. His ministry were to those on the margins of society. Jesus aimed low. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus aimed low. He descended to the dead. Because of all that, we sing the feast of victory for our God, that life, death, and resurrection that we have in Jesus Christ is something that we can rejoice in because God is making all things new. As we hear Paul says, Christ was reconciling the world to himself. Our Lord did not miss. Now, does that victory and realizing that we've received everything in Christ, does that fill you with joy or does that fill you with resentment? If it fills you with joy, then we too need to aim low in our ministry. We need to aim low in the ministry we've been called to carry out as the body of Christ. That new creation is underway. Our mission continues, and it continues to expand to include all persons who have been ignored and shunned in our world today. And we know from prophets old and new and from our Lord Jesus Christ that our message and ministry will be met with resentment in this world. But Jesus is with us. And when we are with Jesus, we cannot miss. Thanks be to God. Amen.